It's 8 p.m. and you're listening to Each for All, the Cooperative Connection on Vancouver Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM, and online at cooperadio.org. I'm Sandy Goldman, and we're hoping to entice listeners to do some traveling in the weeks ahead. That's because May and June are busy times for cooperators to attend major conferences where they share knowledge, best practices, and get inspired to help ensure our sector remains dynamic and responsive to community needs. And this year, all the action is taking place in La Belle Provence. Here's the fantastic lineup. May 27th to 30th is a gathering of three major organizations: the Canadian Association for Studies in Cooperation, the International Cooperative Alliance Committee on Cooperative Research, and the Association of Cooperative Educators. This event will be held in Montreal. Go to cooperesearch.coop to register. The conference theme is cooperative entrepreneurship, theory and best practices, and I've seen the preliminary program and it looks outstanding. Once again, CASC is sponsoring Each for All to cover this conference so we can bring back highlights and news to share on future shows and podcasts. Thank you, CASC. Two more groups are meeting in Quebec City. The Canadian Worker Co-op Federation, along with three Quebec Worker Co-op Federations, will be holding a Worker Co-op Summit on June 17th with a keynote video from Noam Chomsky. Go to Canadian Worker Co-op for more information. And the next day, June 18th through June 20th, is the 6th Annual Co-ops and Mutuals Canada Congress. The theme this year is 360 degrees of cooperation. And to preview that event, we have a special guest with us in studio. Dan Brunet is Director of Advocacy and Partnerships with Co-ops and Mutuals Canada. Bonsoir, Daniel. Bienvenue à Each for All.
Bonjour. Thank you very much for having me.
Dan, before we delve into this year's Congress, can you give our listeners a brief explanation of the role of Co-ops and Mutuals Canada?
Yes, of course. The CMC is the apex organization, the national voice for cooperatives and mutuals in Canada. Our role has a few aspects. The first is advocacy, capacity building within the sector, working with provincial associations. Basically, we're there to make the conditions favorable to development of co-op sector in Canada.
And you have a new executive director this year. Who's at the helm now?
His name is André Beaudry, who comes in with a very strong background in government relations and worked with Colleges and Institutes Canada, as well as being in the fundraising world, specifically with St. Paul University most recently, where he helped set up the School of Social Innovation. So co-ops are something that's well-known and as part of his background.
That's wonderful, and we hope to hear more from André, especially as we get into the federal election in the fall, and we can talk more then about advocacy and how to get people involved in stepping up to support co-ops. Now, the theme for this year's Congress is 360 degrees of cooperation. What does this imply?
Basically, it means that we need to look at how cooperatives operate and the whole ecosystem approach to working together, bringing new people into the conversation, taking a good, wholesome look at what cooperatives are and what they could be in terms of both on the ground and from a big picture sector point of view.
And how will we see this represented in the plenaries and the keynotes and the days of the Congress this year?
Well, it's built around the sense of obviously learning and sharing, but also networking and bringing in speakers that have diverse points of view. I know we're going to talk later about this, some of the international contingent, but we're also looking at, we're going to have individuals coming from the Government of Canada talking about Motion M100 and the consultations which were carried out and the report recently released. We're going to talk about social innovation and social finance, which there's big news coming down the pipeline for that, which co-ops are an integral part of that conversation. We're also going to look at research and statistics and, you know, government relations, and we're actually going to release a study on the cooperative sector's GDP impact and number of jobs in the sector and so on. So it's made to a very wholesome look, big picture, at the co-op sector in general.
Who are some of the keynotes that folks will hear from this year?
We have two Spanish guests from Mondragon, Spain.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Very exciting. The GDP study that I referenced will be released by Guy Cormier from Desjardins and Scott Banda from Federated Cooperatives Limited. We're having individuals such as Catherine Scott talking about social innovation and social finance. We're having six different workshops, everything from EVA, which is a blockchain-based ride-sharing program through the cooperative model. We're having other entities such as La Coop Fédérée doing a presentation on communications and brand management, which are important to co-ops. Labor shortage programs, you know, many things that we've heard from members that they want to learn more about or want to use as a springboard to bring their co-op to the next level.
And there's a great networking opportunity for cooperators. Is there a lot of time to do that throughout the busy 3 days?
Yes, actually, and it was purposely built that way, because for anybody that's ever been to a conference, you realize you also you get as much out of conference from hallway conversations than you do from formal education sessions sometimes. So there's a welcome reception where there's networking. The lunches, there's nothing planned. There's no speakers during the lunches or breakfast specifically to encourage that type of conversation, exchanges, and so on. Then obviously there's a gala in the evening of the 19th. You know, there's many, many opportunities, not even including the co-op tours and so on, which are great.
So tell us about the tours, because this takes place in Old Quebec City, is that correct?
Some of them do, yes, but as co-op tours are very much part of the co-op experience and discovering what others are doing, there's Quartier Petit Champlain, which is a fantastic, various shop owners got together to set up a co-op to make sure that the prices weren't going to be gouged and it could actually keep operating in this old historic Quebec street. And so this little area is great for shopping, and people don't actually realize it's a co-op, but it's just based on those same values and principles of everybody working together. We're going to go see the Consortium, which is a fantastic entity that does a lot of services for all co-ops around especially the Quebec area, and some provincial association. Then we're going to stop by an artist's run co-op called La Méduse, which is basically a giant building full of artists, and finishing the day at La Barberie, which is a microbrewery co-op.
Fantastic. We love to hear about brewery co-ops, especially in June when the weather could be warm.
Yes, and for those that are more interested in history or the financial side, we're going to go tour where Desjardins started, the home where the first meeting and the first $26 was deposited. There's many, many different programs, so I won't go through all of them now. But
there's a rich history of the cooperative sector in Quebec. Can you just tell us a bit about that? Because we don't get to talk about what goes on there in La Belle Provence as much as we'd like. So we see this as a great opportunity to learn more about Quebec cooperatives.
Yes, well, it's great, and it's co-ops and mutuals are really part of the DNA, I guess, of the province. It's the sector as a whole. The provincial association is very, very much supported by the province. It's an integral part of any business type conversation. It's a model that's there's training about it. There's education about it. It's millions of dollars per year from the province to help build the cooperative movement, and that's came out of solidarity activities, from decades ago. So we're seeing the fruits now. Plus, it works closely with other entities that are involved in the social innovation, social finance space. So it's an integral part of the mix.
So we know that some of the values that are expressed socially in Quebec, for example, affordable daycare and other measures are really like cutting edge. Like, we wish the rest of the country was as far ahead in so many ways. What is it about I know it sounds like a big generalization, but the fabric of the Québécois that, you know, for example, the government supports co-ops to the tune of I don't know how many dollars, and that they're thriving there. What do you attribute this to?
Well, the solidarity movement has a link to play there. There was the idea that, you know, many individuals rolled up their sleeves and said, we're not going to wait for a big philanthropist or business, you know, we'll do it ourselves. And that was, you know, that was an integral part of developing the movement. But from a broader context, just it's a known commodity. You don't need to convince somebody of what a co-op is or what it brings to the table. It's people just know about co-ops. It's part of, you know, your general surroundings. They might not know the intricacies, but it's not something that's sounds like a new, you know, shiny penny activity. People know they've been around for years and have proven themselves over and over.
So maybe the rest of the country's governments and cooperators can also learn how to raise public awareness of the co-op movement by talking to our brethren in Quebec, because it sounds like I know that you're so far. They're so far ahead of the game. I mean, if I spoke French, I would love to be there to be part of the movement there. It's just must be so invigorating and wonderful.
It is, and it's very much sort of pushing the envelope, but that's also why it's important to have, you know, strong provincial associations that are talking to each other and learn the best practices. And that's also where CMC can come in, is helping bring in those overall overarching practices and making sure that each province is not developing new tools where, you know, there might be something either out of Quebec or out of the you know, the Maritimes or out of BC, right? It's not because it's in Quebec that it's the best program. There's a lot of fantastic programs, but across the country and up north, I was at the Arctic Cooperatives AGM recently.
Yeah, that's
fantastic
stuff. Great story. I know that from last year's Congress, which was in Victoria, and we got a chance to cover that, the provincial associations had some time to meet.
Yes.
All the representatives, and that will occur again this year?
Yes, it will, actually. It's not on the official listed program because it's a closed-door type of setting, but we have two full-day meetings. One is for Canada's Emerging Cooperators. So those leaders and future leaders are going to be gathering and talking about, well, things that are important to them to build the next generation. And then the network, which are the provincial associations, also meet to talk about best practices and what can be done to both strengthen and grow the resources across the sector.
Just tell us a little bit about the Canada's Emerging Cooperators Program, because that's we talk so much about youth engagement all the time and fostering the next generation of cooperators to carry the mantle going forward. How does that program work?
Well, basically, people applied, and it's a candidacy program. It's basically CMC's way to encourage not just young leaders, but part of the succession planning as well, and bring in those leaders and having that experience. It's individuals that are between 18 and 35, but they in turn also support and mentor other folks. So they also have a representation on the CMC board and so on. So it's a great program.
And are these just young folks from Canada, or are they international as well?
No, these folks are Canadian, or Canada's Emerging Cooperators, or they are Canadian. The International Cooperative Alliance also has a youth program, but this is specifically Canada focused.
Wonderful. Now, is registration still open for people that we're hoping we're enticing tonight to get to Congress?
Indeed, it's still open. You can go on to the CMC website, which is basically canada.coop, so it's easy to find. And you go online, you can either register for the full Congress, or you can go à la carte, which is basically like a menu. You pick what you'd like to attend. And also, for those of you that are attending and might like to have a spouse or a guest companion attending, there are programs and activities for those individuals as well that can be signed up à la carte.
Wonderful, and I hope that also includes the tours if you're going à la carte.
Yes, absolutely. And if ever people have specific questions, they're welcome to call in, and we'll help them find their way.
Well, we want to thank Co-ops and Mutuals Canada for once again sponsoring Each for All to cover this year's Congress. And this is a wonderful reporting and networking opportunity, especially with cooperators in Quebec. So a big thank you to CMC for allowing us to participate again and bring back the stories to our listeners and to our podcasts and readers of our website. Thank you.
Well, we thank you for capturing those stories and recording them so they don't just stay within the context of Congress.
Wonderful. So listeners, please check out the programs for all these special gatherings at eachforall.coop under the events tab. Now, Daniel, we want you to help set the mood for some travel. So why don't you introduce our next song?
Certainly. It's Québec la Belle, which means Quebec the Beautiful. And it was actually a song that was written for Quebec's 400th anniversary.
So we're going to play that in a moment. Daniel, thank you so much. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you for having me.
That was Daniel Brunet, Director of Advocacy and Partnerships at Co-ops and Mutuals Canada. And a reminder that you're listening to Each for All, the Cooperative Connection, your weekly public affairs program about the cooperative sector on Vancouver Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM, and online at cooperadio.org.
Hier libéré et toujours un peu hanté. Qu'en es-tu de cette vie, mère de nos aïeux, sœur de nos mères, tante de nos filles et gardienne de ces lieux? Québec, tu te souviens-tu ce que l'on t'a navigué? Quelle distance t'as pas couru, combien d'écueils t'as évité?
Looking for the greatest grade, looking to the greener side, trying to find a better way. Slow down, open up your big brown eyes.
So tonight on Each for All, the Cooperative Connection, we're very pleased to bring you the conference preview show for the Canadian Association for Studies in Cooperation. That's CASC, for those who are familiar with the acronym. This is an organization that we work with quite a bit here at Each for All, the Cooperative Connection. We sent our producer, Josh Peterman, over there to Regina last year, and he covered the whole conference, had lots of fun, brought back lots of voices from the Canadian cooperative research sector here in Canada. So we're really looking forward to touching base with Fiona Duguid, who is the president of the Canadian Association for Studies in Cooperation. She's also a consultant researcher with Duguid Consulting Incorporated. And when I met Fiona, she was working for the Cooperative Secretariat, I guess under the agricultural umbrella at that time, and since then has gone on to work at the Canadian Cooperative Association, and she conducts research focusing on cooperative social economy, sustainability, community economic development. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Fiona. Really appreciate you staying up late there and sharing with us what's coming for the conference.
Happy to do so, Robin.
So I got the program ahead of time there, and I do appreciate that there is a lot going on, but there's also a lot of people involved, a lot of organizations involved this year. I think usually it is ACE and CASC, but now we have the International Cooperative Alliance Committee for Cooperative Research as well this year. It's a lot of players.
Yep, a lot of players. We've had a great committee of folks around the table from ACE. ACE is the Association for Cooperative Educators, and then ICA is the ICA Research Committee, and of course us from CASC, and we get together and have these great meetings of what cooperators do best, which is collaborate, and have come up with a great program for a conference.
Awesome. And so usually the conference is happening with the Social Sciences Humanities Research Conference, which is a really huge conference. Mm-hmm. But this year you're not tagging along with that group. How come you've chosen to be in Montreal, just the three groups?
Yeah, we thought we'd take an opportunity to do this. As you mentioned, ACE and CASC and ICA have come together before for this mega conference. And, you know, sort of every 3-4 years we try to all come together depending on where the different associations are planning to have their conference. And we found in the past that it creates a huge dynamicism between folks, first of all, from around the world, but also between those folks who wear a very sort of academic or scholarly hat, as well as the full spectrum over to the folks who are very on the ground, grassroots cooperators, working hard in their co-ops. And then, of course, we know there are lots of people who wear, you know, sort of combination of those hats as well. And this kind of conference where all three organizations come together really allows that to flourish.
So the topic for this year is co-op entrepreneurship. That's, I guess, the driving theme for this year?
Yep, it is.
And so what does that mean to you if you had to describe cooperative entrepreneurship to someone in an elevator? How would you go about doing that?
I think I would find the elevator pitch on this one quite hard because given that we will have you know, over 105 individual papers that are looking at different forms of cooperative entrepreneurship, and actually going through all of the submissions for this conference was something unbelievable. The sheer diversity of where people are coming from on co-op entrepreneurship, I'm really looking forward to seeing the diversity at the around the different tables.
Well, for sure. I mean, it's not an easy thing to narrow down. I mean, I feel like the cooperative sector is all about entrepreneurship in a way. Every single co-op is an amalgamation of its members. And a lot of them, maybe worker co-ops maybe could be considered a little bit more entrepreneurial than, say, a consumer co-op. But when it comes down to it, I mean, these are communities of people looking to serve their own needs. If that's not entrepreneurship, I don't know what is.
Absolutely. And I will add in there as well that not only do we have the folks who are just getting off the ground and maybe perhaps trying something new and innovative in the space of goods or services that they're providing, but we also are seeing emerging, at least from the folks who have submitted for the conference, we're seeing the very mature co-ops also talking about how they can continue to be working that entrepreneurial space for their members, even though they are, you know, very large co-ops as well.
Hmm. One of the other things that struck me about the schedule here is we are talking not just about these three organizations, but also multiple languages for the conference.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we will have simultaneous translation and for French and for Spanish and for English in order to at least try to work at all those different languages.
Wow.
But also just to add in there, there are at least 20 different countries at the very least being represented in the conference. Folks coming up from Cuba, from Colombia and Brazil and Argentina. Of course, folks coming from the U.S. We have folks coming from African countries, including Burkina Faso and Nigeria and Morocco, and then a full gamut of people coming over from countries in Europe, the Netherlands, France, Germany, England, Spain, and then a faction of folks coming over from countries in Asia, including South Korea and Japan. And then our Australian friends as well.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be quite dynamic.
That's awesome. So, for yourself, you're a consultant researcher, and I know, you know, you have a very vibrant career here in the co-op sector. How does CASC connect with you and the work that you do?
Yeah, that's a really great question, because I have been involved with CASC as an organization for a really long time. When I was a grad student at UO University of Toronto, I was introduced to CASC actually by Dr. Jack Corder, who some of you may have heard his name, and who passed away earlier on this year.
I just found that out recently, so yeah.
Having a tribute for him at the banquet, actually, at the conference, and so I'm really looking forward to hearing the amazing tributes to the work that he's done in the space of worker cooperatives and social economy, and just such a prolific publisher as well, and writer. But he was the one who originally introduced me to CASC as a newbie grad student, and it really has, for somebody who is initially interested in this amazing space of co-op studies, not only did I feel like I was fully embraced by this organization of people who, it's really a network of folks who are interested in studying co-ops and researching co-ops and educating others about co-ops, a space of critical thinking and open-mindedness, and I just felt super embraced within this space. And as a result, then, throughout my career and my sort of lifelong learning on and about the co-op sector, just have always felt really welcome there. And then a number of years ago, got onto the board, and then have sat as the president for, the last, the last four years or so.
It's all a blur.
It's a great blur, though, because it's a dynamic and fun organization, and everybody is up to support the great work that we try to do, but also the great work that we try to help others lift up to do, if I can word it like that.
Well, my first interaction with CASC was actually, I attended some of the conferences back in 2006, and it is just an amazing organization where you get to meet people from all over the world studying co-ops, but you get this sense of the diversity of the cooperative sector and the diversity of approaches, and you get a sense that it's, although we talk about it like it's a sector, it's very pervasive throughout all of society. And that was one of the things that I think I really took away from that, was just this greater understanding of the complexity of how this fits into our wider environment. And since then, I mean, I also had my turn at the board table for CASC, and learned a lot there and got to meet lots of really cool and interesting people. It's a really neat organization, and I really cherish the fact that we're able to share the voices out there on the radio from CASC with everybody else. And I'm hoping that others do get sort of inspired to learn some more about cooperatives and understand that it's not, it's not just a business model, but it does have a philosophic grounding. And a desire to, have a more fair and equitable society, which is really one of the driving forces of our radio show. I think it was probably the sixth show that we ever did here in 2006 on Each for All. That was our coverage of the CASC conference.
Wow. And,
I'm sure if
we
I listen...
have a long history together.
I'm sure if I go back and listen to that now, I sound very young. But
speaking to exactly what you're saying, that the opportunities to learn so much about the diversity of our sector, I'm just going to actually quickly read off just a couple of the topic titles. I won't get into the big long titles, but just so that people can hear a little bit about some of the things that people are going to be speaking about. So everything from leadership to risk to governance, democracy and ownership, new development areas for co-ops, indigenous cooperation, forms of performance or impact assessment, women in co-ops, ethics and cooperative theory, federations, worker co-ops, co-op strategy, co-ops and technology issues, and finance and economics, as well as sustainable development. So it really covers the full gamut of our world today, if I can word it as such.
And so when we are looking at the field of co-op research and what people are looking into, are you seeing, what are the trends that you're seeing? What feels to you like the new frontier for cooperatives?
Well, and some of this, I must admit, is a little bit close to my heart, but I am so pleased that we are diving deeper into the world of sustainable development and thinking about co-ops and how they're connected to our more global roles and, I would really say, responsibilities. You used it earlier on, social justice, environmental justice, and that sustainable development is a huge part of that. And I mean sustainable in the embedded sort of way of economic, which is embedded by social, which is embedded by the environment. And I really am looking forward to a number of, there's at least six different sessions on sustainability in co-ops, and I'm looking forward to seeing how people are pushing the edge on this one how they're thinking about co-ops in this space. So that's definitely one. Another one that I think is really interesting, and in a way I feel like we maybe are a little bit behind the eight ball on this one, but is around thinking about our performance measurement and thinking about how we can express the full opportunities that co-ops offer communities and individual entrepreneurs around what kind of impact they can make. And so, again, not just thinking about that economic impact, although, of course, co-ops have that and do that in an excellent manner, but that what are they also doing when we think of an expanded sort of understanding of impact? And I really hope that the conversations around this and how this is moving forward is around not just talking about how great co-ops are, but, in fact, bringing up opportunities for people to say, right, this might be a space where we think we're doing well, but we've actually found we're not particularly doing well, maybe on environmental impact. And so we need to take our heads out of the sand and make some changes around that. So I think it offers up the opportunity that knowledge is power, and if we start to think about this kind of thing and maybe even measure it, then maybe we can actually push our whole sector, if not via every individual co-op, to be the best co-op that they can be around sustainability.
That's really cool. And I just happened to be looking at the schedule, and I see that your session is impact based on cooperative principles, data from the cooperative performance indicators. I remember you were working on this project last time we spoke. And so are you seeing specific trends with who is doing that well, having essentially good sustainable practices? Is it the larger co-ops? Is it the smaller co-ops? Is it the worker co-ops? Is it the mountain equipment co-op, consumer co-ops of our world? Do you have a sense of that from the research you've done?
Just speaking specifically, and obviously we're right close to my research and my heart here, but what I've found is that generally speaking, the financial co-ops are further ahead than the non-financial co-ops around sustainability reporting and measurement and assessment. And then the bigger, more mature co-ops are often a couple steps forward from the rest of the co-op sector around this. Now, we can make some natural leaps as to why this is the case. They have large, human resources and financial resources that they can use to fully investigate this and embed this into their understanding of and their strategic planning. And then especially for the financial co-ops, when I've taken a look at other organizational structures that are out there, definitely the financial sector has moved forward on this in general. And so I can make a leap of assumption that we see that our financial co-ops, credit unions, Caisse Populaire, and, you know, insurance co-ops to a certain extent, they, because of their competition, have moved forward on it, that they themselves have also moved forward. Mm. I don't want to give the impression that smaller co-ops or new co-ops or certainly co-ops that are taking up direct space within the sustainable or green, you know, careers or green jobs, that kind of space, that they're not doing it. I don't want to give that impression at all. But more often than not, we see that they maybe just don't have the resources to be able to do it, both financial and human resources.
Hmm. Well, it is a super interesting topic, and it is one of those, I find that the idea of the performance metrics, it's very interesting because, I mean, cooperatives, a lot of people, we talk about walking our talk, and this is really holding, oh, just keep pouring out the feet metaphors, but holding people's feet to the fire here.
So, it's true.
Yeah.
We also see, but also we see a lot of interest in governance issues emerging. Certainly there is lots on governance and so governance, and then also, I guess, sort of the twin to that is sort of the strategic management or strategic planning sort of part of it, and how co-ops are best moving forward in for them as an associative enterprise, but also as a way of maintaining and holding on to a strong co-op identity. So I'm looking forward to hearing those sessions as well, around governance as well as cooperative strategy and cooperative management.
Interesting. One other question that maybe you are uniquely situated to answer. One of the things that we struggle with on Each for All is a better understanding of what's happening in French Canada and the cooperative sector. And I'm wondering if there is, if you see a big difference in the types of research going on in Quebec versus English-speaking Canada. Is there particular trends that those two distinct sectors may be taking?
I don't think I could actually answer that really definitively, except for to say that our friends and the folks who are helping us to organize the conference, they're called IRACUS, which are the, and they have a great big long name, they are the Institute of Research and Education for Cooperatives and Mutuals at the University of Sherbrooke. They are an amazing research institution that really have the pulse of what's happening in Quebec around research. And I know that they have, for the conference, have brought in this great group of very thoughtful and stimulating and dynamic worker, millennial entrepreneurs who have turned to the co-op model. And if anything, what we can see is that Quebec, this is really where this is happening in a very, very vibrant way. And, you know, they in Quebec, there's a number of sort of enabling structures, both policy and program, government, and you know, apex organization kind of supports out there that can help this vibrancy emerge. And we're hoping to sort of be able to jump onto this and just live and breathe their vibrancy while we're there. That's for sure.
Very cool.
For example, one of the keynotes, we're having a keynote panel with millennial entrepreneurs who have purposely chosen co-op as their way of organizing. And so, for example, one is a microbrewery, always great. Another one is an engineering firm that is focusing on green energy projects. And they have, instead of choosing other kinds of models, they have purposely chosen the co co-op model as their organizational structure. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what, as a panel, what they've got to say.
Well, yeah, one of the things that we're seeing, I guess, as a trend, maybe more anecdotally, is platform cooperativism seems to be the new hotness. Do you see much in the form of platform co-ops reaching the research sector?
Yeah, there are a couple of sessions from folks who are researching or directly involved in platform co-ops. So we'll definitely be looking forward to hearing about their experiences and or results and conclusions of where they're at. And from within Canada and also from within the United States. So we'll see what where they take us.
Awesome. Yeah, one of the, I think, and it's in Montreal, EVA Rideshare Co-op is one of the ones that we're super curious to hear more about out here in the West, because, yeah, everybody here is debating whether or not Uber should be allowed in Vancouver, and so we're looking to those alternatives.
Yes, and we are definitely, they are new, and we are looking to support them at the conference, that's for sure.
And so you mentioned a tribute to Jack Quarter for part of the banquet there. And you did talk a little bit about Jack and his legacy. My experience in meeting Jack was through Dr. Ian McPherson. They were good friends. Is there anything you wanted to say a little bit more about Jack?
And how wonderful that you brought up Ian McPherson too, because he also was instrumental in not only he and Jack and a couple of other of our cooperative research founders were a big part of the of creating the association CASC that we have today. Ian and Jack were always present at CASC and always encouraging debate and healthy criticism, and we're so I can't understate how supportive they were to the two young scholars who were moving through their studies or their programs, and really I can't think of too many people who haven't before Ian died and also now before Jack died, who didn't have them as part of their committees or as part of their definitely people that they read in moving forward in their own scholarship. Huge supports for students of cooperative studies.
Big shoes to fill for sure.
Oh, yes.
Well, I wish I could be there with you in person. It sounds like a really exciting time. I know you and I talked about there might be a possibility of getting some money for Reach for All, and I think we talked about it earlier this evening. I'd like to touch base with you tomorrow about that. So
that sounds great, because we know that, when Joshua came last year, it was fabulous to have him, and I know it was great to hear folks from CASC throughout the year on Each for All.
Awesome. Well, we are, like I said, we've got somebody in mind. So we'll talk tomorrow morning if you're around. We'd love to touch base and see if we can make that happen.
That would be great.
Awesome. Well, I will let you get to sleep because it's late there.
Oh, thanks very much. I would just welcome folks who are interested, if you would like to make a trip to La Belle Provence in Montreal at the end of May. So we're at the conference from May 27th through to the 30th. Please check out our website, and the full program will be posted shortly.
Awesome. That website is cooperesearch.coop. That's C-O-O-P, research.coop. I made that website.
You did.
A million years ago, it seems. Thank God it's still alive.
Yes.
But it's looking great, and I'm so glad that it's continued to flourish and under, the exquisite leadership that you provide, I'm sure, Fiona.
Oh, so, well, thank you, Robin.
I really appreciate you staying up late and sharing with us what's going to happen at CASC this coming May. It's super exciting, and wish you all the best. I hope the conference goes off without a hitch.
Thank you so very much.
All right. Thanks. Okay. Have a good night. Take care.
Bye.
That was Fiona Duguid. She is a consultant researcher with Duguid Consulting Incorporated. If you want to check out CASC's website, that's the Canadian Association for Studies and Cooperation. That website, again, is cooperesearch.coop, and a great organization, really interesting conference. If you are in the Montreal area or want to make your way there, it is the 27th through the 30th of May. And again, cooperesearch.coop if you want to find out more information about it. That's it. We're going to leave you tonight with a little bit more Canadiana. Here is what we love playing on Co-op Radio, doing a little Raise a Little Hell from Trooper. Have a cooperative evening out there. We will see you next week on Vancouver Co-op Radio.